Wait. Hold up. What's going on, guys? My name is Wyatt Reed, and this is the Seller Finance Deals Podcast. And today, I'm going to be interviewing my friend and mentor, Alex Pardo. And we're going to be talking about how to get into storage facilities. So get ready, get your pad and your pen, and let's get rolling.
Wyatt, man, congratulations on the podcast, man. I love all the content that you've been putting out on seller financing, and just excited to talk self-storage, man, and pour in and help anybody listening who's interested in this amazing asset class. So thanks for having me, man.
Dude, thank you so much, man. I'm excited because I've got a couple of storage facilities. So everybody's always asking about it, and you can never get enough of it. So tell me this. First off, before we get into it, just give me like a quick 30 seconds. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Wow, I'll do my best to do that in 30 seconds. But born and raised in Miami, I've been a full-time real estate investor since 2005. Primarily started off as a wholesaler, did some fix and flip. That was really, you know, wholesaling was my bread and butter, Wyatt, for 16, 17 years. And about 3.5 years or so ago, I transitioned into storage. And I'm sure we'll probably get into that conversation. But while I was doing very well with wholesaling, it was not aligned with my vision and what I ultimately got into real estate for, which was to build cash flow, generate wealth. And wholesaling was a really high paying job is what it was, right? I felt like I was chasing deal after deal. And man, I'm just glad I was able to build the bridge between wholesaling single family over to storage, because things are just a lot slower, simpler. It's not as sexy, but it's easy. It's so, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I've always heard boring businesses are the best businesses.
100% right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, man. Well, so let me ask you this. So why storage over everything else? Just the cash flow. Is the cash flow better? Is it just easier? Is it all the above?
Yeah, like, brother, that's a really good question. So, you know, it's interesting because I always thought that if I transitioned from residential over to commercial, I just assumed it was going to be multifamily. And when I started to research all the different commercial asset classes, I was surprised by what that research told me. So number one, storage has the lowest default rate of any of the commercial asset classes. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I've ever seen a storage facility going up for auction or somebody falling behind on payments. Part of the reason I believe that is why it is because the operating expense ratio in storage, generally speaking, is between 30 and 40%. And if you compare that to the operating expense ratio of, like, for example, multifamily, where it's between 45 and 55%, you just have more margin, right? Like, you have a little bit more room for error. Your profit margins are better in storage relative to other commercial asset classes. And I really like the fact that it's a recession-resistant asset class, right? So think about the type of society we're in as far as consumerism, right? So people are constantly buying things. I don't know about you, but my wife, like, I feel like we have Amazon packages coming on a daily basis.
Yep, people
are always buying and consuming, and they need a place to store those things. And then think about when we're in a down market, right? And the economy's not doing so well. What do people do? People downsize from their home and they don't want to get rid of their stuff. And where do they put it? They end up putting it in storage. And what I realized being a consumer of storage and then now owning three facilities and being in this business the last 3.5 years or so is that when people move their stuff into a storage facility, it's very sticky. And what I mean by sticky is that think of all the time, energy, and effort it takes to move your contents into a 10 by 15 or a 10 by 20. And then think about what it's going to take to move your stuff out. So generally speaking, Wyatt, like, the majority of our tenants have been with us for years. Mm-hmm. And it's because when you move in, they generally tend to stay. And the last thing I'll mention, brother, is that it's what's considered a nuisance cost. So at our facilities, people are paying between $50 a month all the way up to $375 a month. People just continue to pay. On average, let's call it $100 to $200. The pain of disconnect, in other words, the pain of having to go through the process of moving your stuff out, trying to figure out what you want to do with it, is higher than what it would take to just continue to pay the $100, $200 or so dollars a month.
Right. It's kind of like a gym membership, you know. They're
Exactly.
like, it's all good. It's not enough to worry about right now,
That's
right?
right. That's exactly right. You know how many friends and people I have told me, like, dude, I've been paying $130 a month for this unit for 6 years. And I'm like, have you ever stopped and done the math? Like, the contents in that unit probably are not worth what you pay. But again, it's just such a pain in the butt for them to think about moving out that they just keep paying it.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. So, if someone's new, is this a strategy for people who are just getting started, or do they need to wait, do some other things, and then get started in storage? Like, what
No,
does that look
man,
like?
people do not need to wait. In fact, I would encourage people to not follow the path that I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm super grateful. I have no regrets about the 16, 17 years I spent in the single family space. I learned a ton. I met a lot of great people, made a lot of money. But if there's anybody that's just getting started and you know that you want to end up in the commercial space, particularly storage, because of some of the things that I've shared, you don't need to like get your license. You don't need to like go start off in residential single family. You can jump right into storage. And one of the great things, brother, that I really want people to understand, because I've had a lot of conversations with people that are interested in getting into the business the last several months in particular, people incorrectly assume that you need a bunch of money to go buy these deals. People think that you need experience. Like you just asked me a question, hey, do people need to get started somewhere else? You can do this business with no experience, with no money, with no credit. And really, what people just need to understand is that the only thing preventing them from getting involved and getting a cash flowing storage facility is just a knowledge gap. And in some cases, it might be fear holding you back or certain limiting beliefs. But I've been a part of five storage deals, about to be six. In fact, I just got a contract on a 29,000 square foot facility yesterday. And all those deals I've done without using any of my own money.
I love
I'm
that.
not saying you don't need money, I'm saying it doesn't have to be your money. So you can structure these deals in many different ways where it doesn't require your own capital.
100%. And we'll get into that in just a minute. So let's pull back a little bit and start from the very beginning. So obviously you teach storage. It's where I learned it, and I'm super grateful for it. So if someone was wanting to get into storage, what would be that first step that you would say, hey, this is the most important thing to start out doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'm not even sharing this because I do it, because whether it's there's a lot of great training out there, there's a lot of resources online for free. But the first thing I would tell you to do is to get educated. And to me, the fastest way to get educated is to work with a mentor or a coach, right? Somebody
100%.
who can really accelerate the timeline of your success and what you're after, right? And generally speaking, that requires an investment, but that's when you know you're fully committed. Now, are the resources out there for you to learn this business for free? 1,000%. What a coach and a mentor allows you to do is to avoid the pitfalls and the landmines. So that would be the very first thing. And by the way, that advice would be regardless of what business you're looking to get involved in, right? Like success leaves clues. So find the people that are doing what you want to do, that have the life you want to have. And then follow those clues, like hitch yourself to that wagon and learn from them. So that would be the very first thing, but that's just more general advice.
Right.
By the way, I also live what I preach, because when I got started in storage 3.5 years ago, that's exactly what I did. I paid a bunch of money to learn the business. So,
Yeah, 100%, man.
I truly believe what I'm sharing. Now, having said that, the very first thing I would suggest people do is get crystal clear on what are your goals. And what I mean by that is, are you looking for cash flow or are you looking for equity and upside down the road? It could be a hybrid. That's the great thing about storage is that if you find the right facility, you can accomplish both, but there's got to be a priority. Are you looking to generate cash flow to replace your 9 to 5 or so that you're no longer wholesaling or doing whatever you're doing? Or are you fine with the money that you're making right now and you're more interested in the upside, the equity, the being able to sell a facility and capitalize on that, so then you could take a bunch of money and put that into another facility or into another investment. So get crystal clear on that. The next thing I would do is I would start to focus on the right types of markets. So what is the right type of market? I like to focus on secondary and tertiary markets. And what I mean by that is, think of towns and cities that have a population between 5,000 people all the way up to maybe 75,000 people or so. You can leverage a lot of free resources. I mean, Google's going to be your best friend. Google Maps is going to be great. Census.gov, which is the United States Census Bureau, you can find a lot of great demographic information. And the key demographics that I like to look for are, I want the household median income in a particular market to be over $50,000 a year. And then ideally, I like the cities that I'm in where the population is increasing, right? My very first facility that I bought was in a rough market. Population was decreasing. The household median income was not $50,000. And while I'll still do well when I sell that facility, it introduces more potential headaches and management headaches. So I like to focus on those markets. If you're listening to this and you happen to be in a particular city or town that meets this criteria, then start in your backyard. I didn't have that luxury. I live in Miami, and generally speaking, in the big cities like Miami and Los Angeles, those are dominated by the REITs, the real estate investment trusts that own the public storages of the world, CubeSmarts, et cetera. So I would first pick a market. And then the second thing I would do is I would actually just start, like, the great thing about storage, Wyatt, is that, man, you can jump on Google Maps. You can type in a particular city and state. And when you click the little nearby button and you type in self-storage, that's going to bring up all the self-storage facilities in that given area. And you're going to see those little red dots. I would focus by calling the facilities that either don't have a website or have little to no reviews.
So mom and pops.
That means the mom and pop storage owner is not really treating it like a business.
Yeah, I love that.
I was there for now.
Yeah, no, dude, I love that. And I love how much we align with how we do our coaching and everything like that. There's got to be, going back to what you first said, there's got to be a vision and an understanding of what you want. And a lot of the times people coming in for the seller finance deals, they want the cash flow, right? And so, like, they are trying to get out of that 9-to-5. And I think a lot of people, like, makes flipping and wholesaling look very, very sexy. And like you said, it's the boring jobs that are going to get you there, the boring businesses that are the best, right? And so I'm always like, look, let's get your cash flow up and let's replace your income. And then then you have the options to do that. Then you're not chasing deals only if you want to. So and that's the stuff, all of that stuff that you explained with the Google Maps and because, you know, the population, because I've done a deal this way, that exactly aligns with what you said and what a mentor is going to help you do. And I often have this conversation with John, who's my business partner. And it's like, you know, I really love helping these guys, but sometimes I think that we're depriving them because they're not going to have to go through some of the same stuff that we went through, you know? And so when something comes up, it's going to hit different. Right. So, but I love it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, man, sorry to interrupt you, but it's so interesting you said that because I have been asked in the past, like, I've been in this business, almost 20 years, and I've been asked, like, hey, what's the best deal you've ever done? And people think I'm going to say it's a storage facility I've been involved in or a big wholesale deal. The best deal I've ever done, Wyatt, I lost $51,000 on it. Mm. And it was in 2007 on my very first fix and flip. Obviously, you know what happened 2007, 2008, the market turned on us. And the reason I say that was my best deal, by the way, it's the only deal I've lost money on. And the reason it was my best one is because as a result of that experience, I said, hey, if I would have had a coach or a mentor on my side, I wouldn't have gotten involved in this deal. And ever since then, I've invested in myself and worked with coaches, mentors, been a part of masterminds. So sometimes a curse can be a blessing. Yes. And it's, you know, your message can be found within your mess. And for me, I'll never get involved. I don't know how I can continue in business and in life without having the right people in my corner to let me know where the blind spots are. Because we only know what we know. And so it's super important that anybody listening to this, if you take nothing else from this, this isn't advice you probably haven't heard before, but are you living it, right? Like, are you investing in yourself? Are you plugged into podcasts like Wyatt's, like mine, and just wanting to level up and wanting to grow and learn? So I really wanted to underscore that point because I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for certain people that have poured into my life.
Yeah, you guys, you and Steve, man, like I come to you guys at a very, very low point that after right after I was or in the middle of losing that $60,000, man, and when I come in into that group, the Ascend group, man, it was people there cared. They loved me, but they were telling me the hard things that I needed to do to move forward. You know, they weren't telling me what I wanted to hear, they were telling me what I needed to hear, and that's so important to have a community of people like that. And so all right, well let's bet we've got our marketing, we got our market, we understand what that looks like and what we're looking for. So how is the best way to market to that? Is it the finding it on Google Maps and cold calling, or sending out some letters, or what do you say?
It's all the above. Now, here's what I'll say. There's people always ask the marketing question, right? And I think what people are really asking is like they want a silver bullet. They want like, hey, like what is the best way? All these marketing channels work. I always ask the question is, do you work? In other words, are you going to be consistent? My belief is that you should focus on one or two marketing channels, dominate that before you move on to other things. Now, I'll give you my top three that I love. Number one is direct mail. Right. And by the way, this is the only one of the three that I'm going to share that actually cost money, but it doesn't cost a lot of money. So I've now done five deals and two of them have come from direct mail. I'm sorry, three of them have come from direct mail. The key with direct mail, write as if you're speaking to an aunt, an uncle, a father, a sister, a friend. Like, don't make it sound corporate. Don't make it sound like you're some big shot. You're just a regular person. You're looking to buy storage. So try to speak human to human. Try to be able to relate to them. I'll share with you a super, super quick story, and then I'll continue to answer the marketing question. In June of last year, of 2023, I got a call from a lady who owned a 21,000 square foot facility in a small town in Louisiana. Now, here's what's cool about this story. She calls me and she says, "Hey, Alex, we haven't spoken before, but you sent me a letter 2 years ago, and I've been keeping it because I knew I wanted to sell this facility, but the timing wasn't right. And I kept your letter amongst the others because you included a picture of your family, and I thought it was very personal and endearing." This is exactly what she told me. She said, "I'm ready to sell. Are you interested?" Obviously, the answer was, "Well, it
Of
depends,
course.
right?" Because you always want to stay a step behind them. But inside, I was like, "Of course, this is awesome."
Right.
Well, long story short, I went traveling to Italy in July, and she was traveling. When I got back to Miami in August, I ended up getting that facility under contract for 400,000, and I had somebody that you know in my network, a good friend of mine who does storage in that particular state, and he ended up taking over my contract for 550. Here's the great thing about it: I was able to make $150,000 wholesaling that facility. The best part is that he got it for 550. When he raises the rates, that facility should be right around $1 million.
Wow, that's
So
insane.
it was a win-win all the way around, and that came from a direct mail letter that I sent 2+ years ago, right? Like that's the power of direct mail. You just never know. Now, direct mail, think of like if you like fishing, think of having bait in the water and fish come to you. I also like being proactive, so I like cold calling, and I just shared with you one free way you can jump on Google Maps, pull up the facilities in a particular city and state, and you can cold call, right? The other way that I like, but this is more, think of this like SEO, like search engine optimization. When's the best time to start? Yesterday. When's the next best time? Today. It's a long-term plan, but building relationships. Like I'm so big on building relationships, and I mean relationships with storage owners, relationships with brokers, relationships with wholesalers, friends and family, people in your network and ecosystem. Let people know that you are a storage investor and that you are looking for deals. Plant seeds with people because you just never know when the next opportunity is coming. Why? What you and I are doing right now, this is me planting a seed, letting people know that I'm always actively looking for storage deals. And there's the potential for me to partner with somebody. That's the great thing with storage, man, is that these pies are so much bigger that they can be split in so many different ways that people can get involved in storage by bringing a deal to the table, making a connection, raising capital, marketing money. Like there's a lot of different ways people can get involved in storage.
I love that. I love it. And that's one thing I love about real estate too, is because you don't have to, you're not tied down to one single thing. There's a lot of different ways to make money in real estate. And also to go back and point out, you wholesale that facility. So just like a house, you have multiple options with these storage facilities. You can wholesale them, you can flip them, you can buy and hold them long term, you can sell or finance them. So that's huge, man. You can do all the same things with a single family house with facilities that have 70, 90, 120 doors, you know? So very, very awesome. So now we've got the market. We understand what we're doing to get leads coming in. You said that you get into these deals with very little to none of your own money. So tell me about that. Are you using hard money, private money? Like, what does that look like? And just kind of explain to us what that is.
Well, let me start with the second deal I did, because it's right up your alley, and it was a seller finance deal. And what I love about the content that you've been putting out, Wyatt, is to your point, if you know how to seller finance single family, you can seller finance a storage deal, multifamily, like you can seller finance anything, right? And so this particular deal in Amelia Island, Florida, came from a direct mail campaign. And it was a seller who had owned this. He's an attorney in Ohio, and he had owned this with his sister. It was a family business that they've had for 14, 15 years, but they weren't optimizing it. They weren't treating it like a business. They had no website. They haven't raised rates in years. They just kind of had just management wasn't really dialed in. And he called, and he knew what he had. He knew it was in a valuable location in Florida. But he just wanted to be done with it, right? And so what we were able to negotiate was we bought it for 2.1, and we got 90% seller financing. So he financed 1.9. We got a private lender, and we paid 10% interest to come up with the 200 grand. We put that 200 down. So again, that was us getting in the deal with no money out of our pocket. And then we got some incredible terms. Not to throw too much, but in a nutshell, it's a 5-year balloon, means that we don't have to pay off the loan for 5 years. We didn't have any debt service or mortgage payments for the first 12 months.
Oh, that's
And then
huge.
we got 3.25 fixed interest rate amortized over 35 years. So in storage, amortization usually is 20 or 25 years. We got 35 because it lowered our monthly debt service payments once we started paying them in the 13th month.
That's huge, bro. That's
So,
huge.
and that's a long-term play for us, right? So people might think like, oh, why'd you transition from single family when you were wholesaling to now wholesaling storage? I didn't. But the beautiful thing is when you have a buy box and opportunities fall outside that buy box, if it's a deal, but it's just not a deal for you, you can wholesale it. But if it falls within your buy box, take it down, right? Like that's a cash flow play for us, and it has the upside equity potential once we get occupancy up into the 85% range.
Yeah, man. Something I tell everybody is that if you're just coming with a cash offer, you are just a part of the 95% of people out there that are just doing that, right? If you really want to stand out, you need to have multiple options. Now, the cash offer is always an anchor, right? But you still have other options if they don't go with that. You know, you have the seller financing, which is all negotiable. Amortization, everything's negotiable. And so if you can just either, if they know what's going on, that's awesome. But if you can teach them, if you can educate the seller on that, it's a win-win all the way around, I believe.
That's
So
right.
if
That's
you're
right.
only pushing the cash offer, you need to learn how to pitch terms, you need to learn how to do other things like novations and things like that. So that's why it's so important to be a part of groups that are teaching you these things, these sales strategies and stuff like that.
That's right.
So
Yeah, I think it's if for anybody listening, if you're speaking to homeowners, storage owners, anybody that owns real estate, and you're not making at least two or three different types of offers, I think it's a big mistake. To your point, think about like you call a plumber and he goes in with a hammer, right? But all he needed was a plunger, right? It's just different tools, and you use the right tool based on the situation at hand. So if you're only going in there with your cash offer hammer, but what's needed is a plunger, then you're gonna destroy the friggin' bathroom, right? Like, and you're not gonna fix the problem, you're gonna make it worse. So think about offering cash, think about offering seller financing. Sometimes it could be a hybrid. That's the beautiful thing of seller financing is as Wyatt has been teaching you guys, you can structure these things in many different ways depending on what's your goal and what works for you, and depending on what the seller's looking to get out of the deal.
Love it. Love it. Well, dude, there's been a ton of nuggets. I'm going to hit you with a couple of rapid fire questions, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. So first things first, what's your morning routine like, man? What does it look like when you get up?
I love it, dude. So I'd go out of the screen, but I'd grab it. But morning routine, time with God, right? So I read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, which is highly recommended by Sarah Young for the believers listening to this. Read a chapter of the Bible. Right now I'm in Psalms. I try to get some sunlight. You know, I try to do a little bit of breath work, and I've actually recently incorporated that into the routine. Try to do some breath work, grounding, getting out in sun, hitting the gym. You know, daily sweat is very, very important. I joined this gym called Lifetime. So for the last 6-7 months, I've been doing a combination of sauna and then cold plunge. So that's relatively new, this in the last 6 or 7 months into my daily routine. And then trying to get some reading in, right? Now, here's what I want to highlight with all of that, because that's about a 3-hour process to do all that. Don't get overwhelmed. Figure out what works for you, even if it's just one of those things. Like, it could be your feet touch the ground, you express some gratitude. It could be reciting or reading some positive affirmations. It could be prayer. It could be going, whatever works for you. But try not to get so overwhelmed with this long, drawn out, this is just what works for me. Like, I know when I start my day at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, as far as like business and work, like, I'm ready. I'm dialed in. I feel good. And I just get after it. So it's not so much about the amount of time you work. It's about the efficiency with which the hours you're working. Right. So
I agree.
So anyways, that was a long drawn out. That wasn't rapid fire. So my bad.
It's all good. I think it's really, that is really, really important, because our morning routines align pretty well. I don't get started until 10 either. I've got quiet time. I've gym, then quiet time and prayer and all of that, and then and reading, and then I get started. Something like really cool that worked for me though is, and I'm sure you are the same, and a lot of entrepreneurs are the same, like, we wake up and we immediately have things going through our heads, like, you know, task lists for today and things like that. So what I've started doing and what I've learned was, if I just went straight into my quiet time, my prayer, my reading, like, it would just get all, I wouldn't be able to focus, right? And so I started doing like a power list and knocking out a task list for the day, or at least the things going through my mind before I get into that. And that just kind of helps quiet that storm before I get into it. So
that's awesome. So, like, that's an example why, like, that works for you. My edit to that is, for me, I like to do that the day before. I like to come up with like my power three, my top three things. Like, hey, if I got nothing else done, but I got these two or three things done, it would have been a productive day. I like to figure that out the day before, so that I'm not trying to like spend time in the morning. But again, to each their own. What you got to figure out what works for you. There's no right or wrong. It's just what's right or wrong for you.
100%. 100%. So what is your favorite book?
I feel like the obvious and easy answer for me, the Bible, right?
That's a good one. Best-selling
book of all time. All the wisdom in there, the guidance. Outside of the Bible, man. Dude,
you got a lot of them back there.
So many books. I'm trying not to go with like one of the classics, like Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad Poor Dad. Even though those books, you know, I know I'm not. This is the norm, but like, those books had a big impact on me. But I love The Go-Giver. The Go-Giver is a fantastic book. I've read that book multiple times. So,
dude, I've heard you talk about that book so many times. So I 100% believe you. Okay, well, I don't normally have this, but since you're talking about it so much, what's your favorite Bible verse, Dan?
Philippians 4:13, man. And not because it's a very popular, like, you know, common verse, but like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. To me, that it summarizes so much about what it means to have the right mindset, the right belief systems. It reminds me of my faith. It reminds me that no matter what I'm going through, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, right? Like, and it's not me doing it. It's him working through me. So,
dude, I love it. The verse behind that one, the one right before it, it is so powerful too. Like, everybody knows the 4:13. but the verse right behind it is so powerful too. You know, it's like I've been wealthy and I've been at my lowest, but I've figured out how to be satisfied in God no matter what. So I think that's huge. So I love that.
I love it.
So what's one piece of advice you give somebody wanting to get started?
Get out of your head. And what I mean by that is I spent years of my life too concerned and worried about what others thought. And I've made so many strides and progress in that department. And I still have some room to go. So what I mean by get out of your head is stop worrying. Like, don't allow yourself to not take the kind of action that would lead to your goals, dreams, desires, because you're too concerned about how you might look, how you might sound. What is this person going to say? What is that person going to say? Because at the end of the day, like, people are not thinking about you, right? Like, too much. 100%. Most people are too concerned about what they have going on in their own lives that if they think about you, it's seconds, it's not even minutes, and then they're on to the next thing. So I remember a time, dude, where I was, man, like, I've been hosting the Flip Empire show for 8 years. And there was a time, you know, prior to that where I'd be nervous about speaking or hopping on this podcast. Now it's just natural to me. Now I look forward to it, right? Because I've just put myself in that position, and I've just gotten comfortable with being uncomfortable to the point where now I'm very comfortable. I'm not nervous at all.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's just one of many pieces of advice, but really the best advice is find your creator, right? Like get to know God and have a relationship with him. And I realize that's going to, that's my belief.
100%. Well, hey man, I really, really appreciate you being on. I love talking with you. I love picking your brain and you always bring massive value. So thank you so much. How can everybody get a hold of you? Ask you questions or just talk to you about getting into storage?
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate the opportunity, brother. So storage, www.storagewins.com, storagewins.com, WINS. If you want to find out more about working with me as far as storage, I just launched the Storage Wins small beta group coaching program, which I'm super, super excited about, man. I'm just like, you know, Wyatt, like when you start something, man, and you have the genuine interest to help people because you believe in what you're offering and you know that storage is a vehicle that can ultimately give people time freedom, which is really what they're after at the end of the day. Yes, they want money, but it's what the money can do for them. So, man, I'm just excited to pour into the right people. So storagewins.com if you want to connect with me on that. Or honestly, man, I'll share my text message or my phone number on here and you want to shoot me a text. 305-318-6213.
Dude, I love that. And I've been seeing everything you've been putting out and just know, man, I am 100% rooting for you. I've got your back. If you ever need anything, man, I absolutely love it. So, thank you so much for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I'm super excited to have had the opportunity to share and always here for you and for anybody who just needs help, man. I don't have all the answers, but what I do have, I just share like an open book. So,
love it. Thanks, brother.
Take care, man.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate you listening to this. If you're interested in learning more about seller financing or real estate in general, just reach out to me, DM me on Facebook, or go to sellerfinancedeals.com and fill out an application. Let's talk. Let's have a one-on-one conversation, do a discovery call, and see if we're a good fit.